And now let's get to that federal ruling on what has been deemed an effective crime-fighting strategy in the city of New York. Stop and frisk has been stopped by a judge. The policy of searching people on no apparent suspicion of a crime suddenly has some constitutional problems. Joining us now is Kathleen Horan, reporter for WNYC Radio. So this is a pretty significant ruling, and it comes directly at a policy that has been very, very popular among law enforcement in the city of New York. What did this trial attempt to examine, and what did we sort of see in the testimony?
Well, the plaintiffs alleged that the city was violating the 4th and 14th Amendments, you know, whether you can stop and search someone, and racial profiling, essentially. And the city said that actually stops are based on reasonable suspicion. They document their stops in these forms called UF-250s. They have policies in place. They have training in place. And they have a lot of oversight, is what they said. And in addition, you know, they've seen historic drops in crime on their watch. So what's wrong with that, they said?
The numbers say one thing, but the coverage of this policy and from the neighborhood level has produced a whole other level of controversy. Here is a secret recording that was done, and there's a number of these circulating. This is just one of what it's like to be stopped and frisked. Listen.
Oh, I just got stopped like 2 blocks ago, yo.
And you look very suspicious.
Because y'all always looking at me crazy.
Why you
Why you push me that for?
Now, that's a sense of a recording. It was part of a documentary. Someone named Alvin, who is a local teen, who recorded that himself, and that's from 2011. You've actually talked with people who have been frisked, stopped, for no apparent reason. And what kinds of things did they tell you about their reaction?
Well, officers will give them a reason sometimes. You know, you fit the description, furtive movements. I mean, they will always have a reason that they can give, but I think the person being stopped would question that.
And I think you get a sense of the vulnerability here. This is a 14-year-old that you spoke with. Let's listen.
They asked me, do we got any guns? We said no. They stopped us. They checked us. They put their hands in my pockets. They fell all over me and all types of stuff.
So that 14-year-old, Lamel Ryson from East New York, is important, first of all, for what he says. He certainly sounds pretty vulnerable in that situation. But he also comes from a place, statistically, that has a lot of these stop and frisks.
And the judge mentioned that in her ruling. She said increased contact with the police leads to increased opportunities for arrest, even when the reason for the arrest was not the reason for the stop. So the more contact you have with the police, the more you're going to be involved in the criminal justice system. And she also noted the human toll in her ruling, saying that each stop is demeaning and humiliating and that no one should live in fear of being stopped during the daily activities of life.
She also appears to have bought the argument that this constitutes a form of racial profiling and that this has a hugely disproportionate impact on African-Americans and minorities in the city of New York.
Well, that's what the plaintiffs had to prove in the case, is that there is a pattern and practice and that it's beyond these 19 stops that were investigated or scrutinized during the trial. It's the whole universe of stops. And there's been about 4.5 million during the years this case looked at.
And the remedy here, and there are a number of remedies here, but the principal one is that a man by the name of Peter Zimroth, an attorney with a firm here in the city of New York, Arnold and Porter, will become the monitor for constitutional compliance for the NYPD. He has experience working in Manhattan as a corporation counsel. But what's the significance of that?
That was something that was expected if the judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs. And it was something that the Department of Justice, you know, released a statement of interest on, saying that if constitutional violations are found, that we do recommend a court monitor because they ensure that any changes the court recommends, the judge recommends, are executed. So it is very important, but it's not shocking. It's just shocking that the largest police department in the country now has a federal monitor.
How does the federal monitor constrain the police in the sense that on the street they're going to behave differently? Because this trial was all about how the behavior on the street appeared to have been directed from very sort of specific recommendations from the high levels of the NYPD. What's the monitor going to do to change that?
He's going to ensure, ideally, that stops are constitutional and that there's new training, there's new documentation for every stop, and that the city, from the top on down, really makes it their business not only to keep people safe, but to not violate the Constitution.
Is this case appealable?
It will be appealed by the city. We expect that. There's an upcoming press conference by city officials. They have 30 days to appeal.
All right. Reporting on the federal judge ruling today, really striking down the stop and frisk policy here in the city of New York. Kathleen Horan, reporter for WNYC Radio. Thanks so much. Plenty of reaction to the judge's ruling on stop and frisk. On WNYC's Facebook page, Adam writes, "Really? Stopping and searching brown men with no probable cause violates their rights? Amazing." Ross Michael says, "Only took 10 years. We'd love your reaction to this ruling. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Weigh in and see a map of where various stop and frisks have taken place throughout New York City. Visit us at thetakeaway.org.